So I don't think we've got any visitors this morning. So I won't go through the spiel about filling out a card because y'all all have already done so or you don't need to. But welcome this morning, Lake Country Bible Church. We're going to worship God. We're going to love doing it. And God has blessed us. You know, I didn't know we were going to be without Brenda this morning. The church didn't know he was going to, Brenda didn't know he was going to be without Brenda this morning. But you know what? God did. And God provides. This is wonderful. So just praise God this morning and just get into it. Let us hear your voices.
We'll do announcements first so I don't forget them. There is a prayer meeting every Sunday, 9 a.m., in this little room right back over here. Mr. Ray and Miss Ruth North lead that. Ray's a little bit under the weather, but hopefully he'll be back with us next week. I know he's ripping and roaring and raring to go, but he has a little bit of recovery to do. Be with him in your prayers, folks. He's not a young man, and it's a hard road to hoe to come back. But he's got strength, and with God's help, we know he'll do it. Women's Bible study. Miss Terry Buckler right back here on the back row. She leads the women every Tuesday night at 6:30 to 8 p.m. If you are an inspiring young man or a man that wants to come out here and drink coffee or sit around and talk, well, usually I say talk to Ray, but we probably won't see Ray up here for a couple of days, but yeah, talk to Wes. He's always looking for somebody to talk to on Wednesday night. So, if you're a man and you want to let you come up with your wife, there'll be some men up here to, you'll figure out all the different problems with the world and how to fix them in an hour and a half. Wednesday night service. I think Wes is teaching that one right now. It starts at 6 p.m., usually over around 7. Everybody's invited to that one. Please come. Friday, we have a men's prayer group. We meet at the Red Dome on Friday at 8 p.m. in the morning. Oh, sure, 8 p.m. That's 8 a.m. No, 8 p.m. in the morning. Yeah, 0800 for you military folks.
There you go.
Bright and early, 8 o'clock in the morning for you civilians out there, okay? And, again, we have a good time. We praise the Lord. We talk about men things and stuff like that. So, all men are invited to come to that. Bring your friends. It's not a closed thing. Anybody can come to it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we see members not here today. We know that there are ailments going around that just brings us down in our physicality. We know that each one of these people that aren't here would rather be here today than where they are right now. Whether it be to a broken leg or basically the flu that's going around or whatever. We know that they would rather be here worshiping you. For you are the center of our lives. Father, we praise you for the grace given to us through the finished work of the cross, how being God, you sent your Son down to die on a cross for our sins. And by that atonement and that atonement alone, that allows us to reach out to you. You paid for our sins on that cross. He bled and he died for our sins on that cross. Father, we thank you for that sacrifice given for us. We love you for the grace shown to us. And we ask that as we walk through our lives that you would give us the ability, give us the discernment to live our lives in the true appreciation of the price given for us. Father, we're going through a tumultuous time in our country nowadays, through the world. You know, in the Bible it says when you hear wars and rumors of wars, watch out, watch for the things that are coming. And Father, we can see that in today's society. I don't know if it has to do with our communication ability, or there is just more wars than there ever has been. I don't know, Father, but we see this happening. We see the degradation of our society and the moving away from the God of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see people moving away from that toward things that they should not be doing. We see things happening on the earth that we do not understand. But we know that you paid the price for us and you guaranteed us that you would never leave us and never forsake us. And one of these days, we'll either go to be with you or we'll be called away to meet you in the air. And we will forever be with you. And then there will be catastrophes and wars like we could not comprehend happen on this earth. But we know that you are loving and fair judge and a loving and fair God, and you will do what is right in the end. We thank you for what you've done for us, and we ask that you would give us peace during these trying times. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, he does.
I want to read verses 1 through 9. So please turn in your Bibles. Daniel 11, 1 through 9. Please read with me, as sometimes my rendition is not always faithful. Sometimes I miss words or mess up words. So please always bring your Bible and please always read, and don't trust me. Daniel 11, 1 through 9. Daniel 11, 1 through 9. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia, and the 4th shall be richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And the mighty king shall stand up and shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the 4 winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others besides those. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of the princes, and he shall be strong above them and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north and make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begot her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land. But his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north, and he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand.
Good morning, church. It is good to look out and see your smiling faces this morning. Please note, Brenda's ill this morning, but it should impress upon us. We need everyone. How we miss those that are out sick. So if you want to play hooky some Sunday morning, I hope the Holy Spirit just convicts you to be here, because we miss you when you're not here. So pray for Brenda. Pray for Ray. Ray is faithfully moving forward in his recovery. And so pray for him, for speedy recovery, for strengthening, for balance. So pray for him. Many others in our church family, or several others in our church family, are ill. So remember each one that's not here, because we miss them when they're not here. I want to bring your attention to something that we see happening across the globe today, and that is error in what is put forth for public consumption regarding things that should be understood from the Word of God. There is a lady by the name of Catherine Sully who wrote a book called The Baptism of Jesus, and it's a children's book. In fact, it's a new children's book. And probably if we just took it by the title of the book, it would be something that we should would probably think to ourselves that there's really a nice book here, and I want to have it for to read to my grandchildren or great-grandchildren, or in the case of some of us, great-great-grandchildren. But her name is Catherine Sully. She wrote this book, The Baptism of Jesus. And in this book, there is a picture, drawn picture, of one who was referred to as Jesus and one who is referred to as John the Baptist. And John the Baptist asked Christ this question in this book: why do you want me to baptize you? John asked. You should be baptizing me. So far, that doesn't sound too bad. Christ, or Jesus' response, is, I have come to the river today to wash my sins away. I hope that that underscores with you the error in this lady's presentation of Christ's baptism. We want to think about it, be clear about the things that we understand and the things that we pass on to our children and great-grandchildren, that this thing of Jesus having sinned, Jesus never sinned. Jesus had no need to have his sins washed away. The only sins that Jesus, people might say, were sins that he took upon himself. Not that he sinned those sins, but he took the punishment for our sins upon himself by dying on the cross. He paid the debt that we owed. So we need to make sure as grandparents and parents that we make sure that the things that our children are exposed to are correct in theology and in doctrine. We're looking in Daniel chapter 11 this morning. And actually, Daniel chapter 11 belongs really in part to chapter 10. Because we read in chapter 10, verse 14, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days." The rest of this chapter, 10, tells nothing concerning Israel during the latter days. But we'll find here in chapter 11, it does talk about Israel in the latter days. This whole book of Daniel is a book, and especially beginning in chapter 11, there are a lot of conflicts. There's a lot of different kinds of power that are displayed by different people. They rise up and then they are dethroned from their power. We'll find this throughout chapter 11. We begin to look at this chapter 11. It's a great chapter in Daniel. We notice that as far as the nations are concerned, it's very much like chapter 8, giving us the nations of Medo-Persia and Grecia. Then comes the silence of the church age, this age in which we live, this age that has existed from the time that Christ was crucified, rose again, and ascended up into heaven until today. And we're waiting with, I trust, anticipated breath. We're waiting for His coming again. We will go to see Him and meet Him at the rapture of the church, the beginning of this seven-year tribulation period. But we find here the silence of the church age is not spoken of here in Daniel chapter 11. Now, we find then that the reign of the anti-Messiah or the Antichrist follows this time in which we now live, the church age. The church age ends with the rapture of the church. As far as the Antichrist is concerned, it's much like chapter 9, except that it goes into more detail concerning this person, this Antichrist, who rules the world for some 3.5 years during the Great Tribulation. You see, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation appears to be a time of peace. Everything is going well. The nations are behaving. There's world peace. Everybody is saying peace. Oh, this is a wonderful peace that we're living through now. The world has never seen this kind of peace, but it's a false peace. It is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Then shall come a period that we call the Great Tribulation, lasting some 3.5 years. The 2 3.5 years make up the 7 years tribulation. And we find here in the book of Daniel chapter 11, we'll find more about this coming time of the Great Tribulation. We find in Daniel chapter 11, verse 1, "Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood by to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up against the realm of Grecia." So we find here that there is one coming on the scene, one that Daniel said he stood up with with Darius in his first year. He supported Darius. His presence with him and Darius stood to confirm and to strengthen the rule of Darius. But we find in verse 2, "And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia." Daniel addresses this chapter to Darius, the king of Media. So what we find here is the stage is being set for the not only the balance of chapter 11, but also as he begins to set forth the situation of the coming world situation. We find here in this time period that many, many things are going to take place. Things that at first look good, well-intended, pleasant, but they turn out to be just exactly the opposite. It does not, chapter 11, concern this king and his kingdom, the Gentile rulers, and rule well, as well, but also it concerns the life of Israel in the end times. You see, God is not through with his chosen people, Israel. And so we'll find here in chapter 11 that these things begin to reveal themselves. Daniel saw these things under God's leadership and direction. And Daniel revealed to Darius that there shall be three kings over the over Persia following Darius after their reign. The kingdom of Greece arises. We find this Grecian empire spoken about in Daniel chapter 11, verses 3 and following. Daniel 11:3, and a mighty king shall stand up and shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. When he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken. He shall be divided towards the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others besides those. And the king of the south shall be strong, one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an arrangement or an agreement, which she shall not, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up. And they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of a root shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. Shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods with the princes, and with their precious vessels of gold and of silver, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land. But his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces. One shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler or with aggravation, temptation, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. He shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he taketh away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up. He shall cast down many, 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a great mount, and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand, but he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set up his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, and she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face toward the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Verse 19, then shall he turn his face toward the fort of his own land, and he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. So we see here all of this confusion, all of these battles, all of these struggles for strength and for dominion and for rule. We find the mighty king is none other than Alexander the Great. We find also when he is cut off, his kingdom is divided among his four generals. It's not left for a small son. He had nothing to leave for his posterity. And so we find here that his rule comes to an end after the division of the Grecian Empire among Alexander's four generals. Things arise such as a revolution in one place and a rebellion in another. We saw all of these things, or read all of these things that were going on during this time period. Seemed like a time of confusion. It was, or will be. Some of these things we find here in Daniel chapter 11 were known at the time that Daniel wrote this book. Others were all still in the future. Today, as we look back, some of those things that were in the future then are now past history for us. We can read them in our books of higher learning. So we find here that this time and period explained and exposed here in Daniel chapter 11, verse 1, is a time of great confusion, great war, great battles, and many devious things that will take place. We find then this one, after the division of the Grecian Empire among Alexander's four generals, things arise such as a revolution in one place and a rebellion in another. We find from verse 5 to verse 20, we have a history revealed before it occurs. It's from the time of the Grecian Empire, the time of the Roman Empire. And then there comes a silence. We find here in chapter 11, verse 14, and in those times there shall many stand up against this king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. God tells us that of these things that are going to happen to Israel. It's going to be a tough time for Israel. We find this time called the tribulation period, consisting of 7 years, 3.5 years of false peace, 3.5 years of terrible, terrible tribulation here on this earth for God's chosen people, because they turned back. They turned their backs on the Lord God and did not follow his instruction. They were not faithful in their obedience. And so we find here these things described in the Word of God, which deal directly with God's chosen people. These are things that the Gentile world has not gone through as yet. We find that we read here in chapter 11, this is dealing with God's people and how God deals with his people in punishment for their lifestyle in obedience to him. Daniel himself admits that as he hears and writes his prophecy, he does not know what God means by it all. When the rapture of the church takes place, God's attention is directed to his people, Israel. You don't find mention of the Gentiles, the Goy, here in the first part of Daniel chapter 11. We find here in Daniel chapter 12, we find that Daniel is told to go thy way, Daniel. This shows God's inspiration in the way that he inspired Daniel to write this book. The words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. God clearly tells Israel and us that these truths are sealed until the end times. It's true that this great book of Daniel, or by Daniel, has become increasingly clear as the years have passed by. Commentaries of a hundred years ago and even 200 years ago believed that these scriptures referred to the church, those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And these commentaries, writers of these commentaries, believed that it was the church only that was being dealt with. They believed that Israel had been forever forsaken, and Israel would never be back in the land of Palestine. But something happened May 14th, 1948. Israel once again voted for their independence and became a nation again. So for the years following 1948 until this time in which we live today, Israel is still existing. But the situation that Israel finds themselves in will grow worse and worse and worse until one time in the future that this man that we call the Antichrist shall rise up and shall promise Israel things that he cannot deliver. So we're going to stop here this morning, and we'll give you an opportunity to take and spend some time in Daniel chapter 11 this coming week. But we find that God is always faithful to those who know him as their personal Savior. God was faithful to the Jews as they turned their back unto him, on him. But we find also that this time is time that God has set aside to deal in a personal way with his chosen people, Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this time together. We thank you, Father, for the clarity of your word. We thank you, Father, for the truthfulness of your word. Father, we have always, always found you truthful, never leading us astray. Father, we understand that you want the very best for us in our lives. And Father, it can be ours if we would just turn as your children and do the things that you ask us to do. And Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you once again for the truthfulness of your word. And Father, we do pray for those in our fellowship that are ill this morning. We ask, Father, for your healing and strengthening. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.